Good morning. Scripture reading this morning will be taken from 2 Kings, the 22nd chapter. I'll just be reading verse number 2. 2 Kings 22, verse 2. Speaking of Josiah the king. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see each and every one of you. We're always thankful for the opportunities we have to be with one another. Good to see so many young people with us this morning. What a blessing that is. We have so many things to be thankful for. You know, as we're coming into the tail end of the elder process, I'm thankful that we do have multiple men that meet the qualifications here at Sandyville. You know, many places that is a rarity, but we are so thankful for that, that Sandyville is a congregation that is developing men that meet those qualifications, and certainly we look to those attributes of an elder as Christian maturity, and we're so glad that Sandyville is maturing Christian men, and we're so thankful for that. We're so thankful for all our Bible class teachers and the turns that have been taken, and our current Bible class teachers, so thankful for them. We're so thankful for the card group and so many of the things that we're trying to do, and each step we try to do a little bit more and be a little bit better each and every day. There's a Chinese proverb, I think it goes, a single grain of rice can tip the scale. And we never know who that individual is or what that action will be that will tip the scale in someone's spiritual favor. So certainly we're always mindful of those things. You know, throughout this month I've been going through 2 Kings in the Sunday evenings, but I decided to switch this one to the morning. And try to get us in position and in the mindset of the kings of Israel. Certainly we're going to be looking at a king of Judah this morning. But we remember back to Joshua crossing over into the promised land, and they take the promised land, and God fulfills his land promise, and really his nation promise to Abraham of old. And Joshua takes over Israel, and they have a system of judges for a period of time, and eventually they start asking for a king. And actually, Moses, before they go into the promised land in Deuteronomy, he's basically foreseeing the future and says, you're going to want a king, you're going to ask for a king. He says, when you get the king, this is what the king should do. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, Moses speaking here, before they go into the promised land, he says, also it shall be, when he sits on the throne of your kingdom, talking about the king that they will have, he shall write for himself a copy of the law in a book, from the one before the priests and Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and be careful to observe all the words of this law. Moses talks about, before the children of Israel go into the promised land, that they need to not forget God, and he says specifically when they transition to kings, that the king needs to have a copy of the law, and he needs to be reading it. And we see as they transition into the kings, we have King Saul, we have King David, we have King Solomon, and the kingdom is united. And then after Solomon, we do have a dividing of the kingdom. We have the northern kingdom and we have the southern kingdom. And the northern kingdom is going to have kings. And the southern kingdom is going to have kings. The northern kingdom does not have a good king to their name. Well, why? Because they don't read the law. I think you could boil it down to that. They don't read the law. There's no good kings out of the northern kingdom. This morning, we're going to be looking at the southern kingdom. The southern kingdom does have good kings for the southern kingdom. We're going to be looking at one of those today. We're going to be looking at the southern kingdom. We're going to be looking at King Josiah in 2 Kings chapter 22. But before we get there, I would like to just reflect a little bit on the history of the kings of the southern kingdom. We have King Hezekiah, he was a good king. And then King Hezekiah, he has Manasseh. And Manasseh is not a good king. He reigned 55 years, and the Bible says he undid everything that Hezekiah did. He was setting up high places. He wasn't doing a whole lot of good. We have Manasseh. Then Manasseh has Amon. Amon only reigns for 2 years and gets basically killed. And then we have Josiah. Josiah is going to come into power, as we see in 2 Kings chapter 22, at 8 years old. But I want to establish that history because when you think about it, Manasseh, Josiah's grandfather, reigned 55 years, and doesn't seem like he really wanted to open the book. He was not a good king. Josiah's father Ammon only reigned 2 years, and the Bible says that he was not a good king. And now we have Josiah. We have young Josiah taking over the kingdom at 8 years old, and you know what he has not heard throughout his life? The law. In the southern kingdom, the law had been lost. And that's what we're going to see, is Josiah is going to find the law. And as we think about that and reflect that, I think it's a question that we need to ask ourselves and certainly reflect on our society. Have we lost the Bible? Have we lost the law? The southern kingdom had lost the law. Manasseh was not reading the law. He didn't care about the law. We look at Amnon, Josiah's dad. He didn't read the law. He didn't care about the law. We have Josiah. He's becoming king at 8 years old. He would just probably assume that he's going to run into disaster. But we're going to see that he finds something that helps him on his way. He finds the book, he reads the book, and certainly he responds to the book. That is really where we're getting into, is Josiah in a line of kings taking over at 8 years old, and we're going to see that he finds the book of the law, and we're going to see how he responds to it. We realize, as we reflect on that, how much ignorance there is of God's law in the southern kingdom. Manasseh reigned for 55 years. We have Amnon who reigned for a couple years. And actually, if you read there, 2 Kings chapter 22, and you read the first few verses there, is King Josiah is not going to find the law until verse 3. It says, now it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah. So Josiah ruled from age 8 to age 26, I believe, if I've got my numbers right. He doesn't pick up the book of the law until he's 26 years old. Well, why is Josiah, a king of Israel, God's people, why is he not picking up the law until he's 26 years old? You know why? Because of his dad and his grandfather. I mean, can we not say that that was a part of it? We basically have a dark period in the southern kingdom of about 75 years where the law is lost. 75 years, people aren't reading the law. 75 years, people aren't caring about the law. 75 years where we see the kings are not really referencing the law. Josiah is 26 years old, and finally he's going to get his hands on what's going to really change his whole life and his whole quest throughout life. Ignorance for 75 years. Could this happen in our country? Could we grow to a point that we're so ignorant that we almost need to find the book again? We need to read it because people have wandered so far off they're not doing those things which they should be doing. Josiah is 26 years old, and that is when we're going to start to see he is going to find the law. We see Josiah takes over at 8. We see in verse 3, in his 18th year of his reign, he is basically going to ask that the temple was to restore it, to repair it. So he sends some individuals, and they're going to repair the temple, and also they're going to go look for some money and things of that nature. But in verses 8 through 10, we're going to see that the book of the law is going to be found. The book of the law that Josiah should have had by his side, really, of this whole period of time. Verse 8, and then it says, Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. So Shaphan, the scribe, went to the king, bringing the king word, saying, your servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hands of those who do the work, to see the house of the Lord. We see that these individuals have found the law. Josiah says, I want you to go repair the temple. These individuals are repairing the temple. They're looking through for certain things, and they find the book of the law, and they decide they're going to bring it back to the king. And I start to think about that a little bit, is how in the world did the law get lost? How did it get lost? You know, you think about it, think of the idea of certainly neglect. They didn't care about the law. And if we don't care about our Bibles, if we don't care about the Word of God, it will be lost, perhaps not physically, but at least in our hearts. It'll be lost. It'll be misplaced. It won't be referenced or looked at. And we think about this period of Josiah becoming king. We think about his grandfather. We think about his father. Were they reading the book of the law for their child? It was lost. It was in the temple. It appears that it wasn't being read to many individuals. And we realize that without God's word, how ignorant we are and how misplaced we are. We have 75 years, ballpark, of people really not pleasing God. Well, question, why aren't they pleasing God? In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Well, question, how is faith obtained? Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So, well, why are you saying they weren't pleasing God? They didn't know God's word. How can you please God if you don't know his word? It is impossible to please God without faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. How can they be hearing the word of God when it's lost in the temple? When it's not being read. When it's not being referenced. When it's not being taught. You know, I really feel for Josiah. You know, we meet Josiahs in our lives, do we not? Individuals in hard situations. Individuals where the Bible is not considered, the Bible is not read, the Bible is not prioritized, spiritual things are not prioritized. You know what? Josiah is going to get his hands on this book, and he's going to start reading it, and he's going to start making some connections. He's going to start making some connections about his dad. He's going to start making some connections about his grandfather. He's going to make some connections. And sometimes those connections are hard to make, but we see that Josiah makes them. Have we lost our Bible? You think there's a lot of Bible reading coming from Manasseh, 55 years, a lot of Bible reading coming from Amnon? Is there a lot of Bible reading? You know, the Bible consistently says that this is a problem with God's people. We go to Hosea, which I just finished the Tuesday class, so Hosea is in my mind, but really we could go to any minor prophet or any prophet for that matter, is Hosea is really primarily talking to the northern kingdom, which the northern kingdom has been taken away by Assyria at this point. Assyria has come and taken away the northern kingdom, essentially. What does Hosea say to the people of the northern kingdom? What is their problem? Well, in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, here's one thing that Hosea says. It says, of course he's speaking for God, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests for me. Hosea is talking to the religious leaders of the day. What's the problem? The problem is they don't know God. They don't know the word of God. In fact, if you continue in Hosea, Hosea chapter 8 verse 12, it says there, not only is their crime a lack of knowledge, chapter 8, verse 12 of Hosea, it says, I have written for him the great things of my law, but they were considered a strange thing. Could God's word be lost to such a degree that when people say God's word or people express God's word, they're like, that's strange. You know, we're almost living in a time like that, aren't we? We're almost living in a time like that where we'll discuss marriage and say, marriage should be between a man and a woman. And people say, no, that's strange. Sex should only be in the confines of marriage. That's a strange thing. I can't believe you say something like that. What does the book of the law say? What does the Bible say on these issues? Is the book, the law, the Bible, in our case, the New Testament, is it a strange thing in our world today? Is it a strange thing because we're not reading it? Is our crime a lack of knowledge? You know, Jeremiah was preaching as well. In Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 32. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 32 there. And he says this, can a virgin forget her ornament, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Is a bride going to forget her wedding day? Is she going to forget her wedding dress? Is that something she's going to forget? I don't think so. But it says there, Jeremiah says, my people have forgotten me days without number. Have you lost your Bible? Have you lost your Bible? Because Josiah, he's finding it right now. He's got some people in the temple, and it's almost like they have almost had to dig it up. It's almost like it was lost. It was misplaced. It wasn't prioritized. It wasn't something that was part of their lives. We're going to see that Josiah is going to respond. They have found it. He's going to read it, and he's going to start responding. But you know, that idea just really struck me, the idea of the people of God not knowing the word. It being lost and misplaced. Why was the book lost? How did it get lost? Is it lost at your house? I'm not talking about your physical Bible, per se. A lot of us might have five of them in our house. And maybe some of them are lost. But is it in your heart? You know, we think of Psalm 119 and verse 11. Your word I hide in my heart that I might not sin against you. It has to be read and it has to be applied. And certainly we're going to see that Josiah understands that idea and that connection. You might have five Bibles at your house, but it doesn't mean that it's in your heart. It doesn't mean that it's where it's supposed to be. But certainly if you do have a lost Bible physically, certainly we could understand that that could lead to it being lost in our heart. where it needs to be desperately. Now we have the law that's been lost, and it has been found, and these servants of the king are going to bring it to him, and they are going to start reading it to him, and we're going to see his response. You know, really, Josiah should have been reading this his whole life. He should have been reading it at 8. That's when he took over his king. Deuteronomy chapter 17 says the king's supposed to have a copy of the law, and is supposed to read it, but he hasn't had the book. Are you reading the Bible? Are you reading it to your kids? Are you reading it to your grandkids? You know, we step back and we look at the northern kingdom. They're taken away by Assyria. And why does Hosea say they're being taken away by Assyria? I think mainly because of lack of knowledge. And their lack of knowledge leads to unfaithfulness, where they're not doing things that God would want them to do. The southern kingdom is on the same track. Babylon is going to come in and take out the southern kingdom. And I would suggest it's a very similar pattern that we see north and south, is that the lack of knowledge is a problem with God's people and a problem with serving God. Ignorance is dangerous. And it has led to the fall of many nations, states, families, and individuals. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, the Bible says this time of ignorance God overlooked and now commands all men everywhere to repent. Repent, change. Have you changed? Ignorance is not going to be an excuse on the judgment day. Have you lost your Bible? We see that it has been found. And we're going to see that Josiah, he's going to take it, he's going to respond to it, and he's going to start applying it. In 2 Kings chapter 23, we're going to see that he's going to be a great reformer in relation to being a king. But let's see how he responds to the book. The book has been found, verses 8 through 10 there. The book has been found. I'm going to read verses 11 through 14. We're going to see that Josiah, it's going to start to be read, and as it's being read, we're going to see that he is going to respond. It says, now it happened, when the king heard the words of the book, they brought the book of the law to him, that he tore his clothes. Now it happened, when he heard the words of the book of the law, that he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and he is going to order a group of individuals. It says, in verse 13, it says, go inquire the Lord for me, for the people, and for all Judah, concerning these words of the book that have been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. It doesn't take Josiah too long. Josiah hears the law, and immediately he immediately has a reaction to what's being said. He immediately starts tearing his clothes, and he's really going through the repentance process, and he's making all these connections. It's like a huge flashback. He remembers what's been done, he remembers what he gets to see in the land, and he gets to see and compare it to what the book says. See, people in our society, they'll say, this is okay. But then when you open up the book and you see what the book says, you're like, whoa, that's not okay. And that's what Josiah is going through. Is our world tries to tell us each and every day, this is okay, this is okay, this is okay, this is okay. But what does the Bible say? And Josiah, when he starts to read it, he has an emotional reaction. We see that he tears his clothes. And in fact, it's almost like he wants more confirmation. He takes his close people that are there, and he says, he sends them off to go inquire of the prophetess and get more information, because he wants to double check. Look at verse 13. It says, go inquire the Lord for me. You know, I've always found that interesting. He reads the book. He knows that mistakes have been made. He's going through the repentance process. He takes his close individuals there and says, I want you to go inquire of this prophetess if these things are true, if the things in this book are true. And it's almost like a shell shock. But in verse 13, look at what he tells these men to do. He says, go inquire the Lord for me, for the people of all of Judah, concerning the words in this book that have been found. Who's the first person on the list he wants to check up on? Verse 13, he says, go inquire the Lord for me. And then he says, all of Judah. You know, you think about that. If Josiah was concerned about himself and his relationship to God. He says, go inquire for me. I want to know. I want to make sure. And you know what? That is a principle in Christianity that we cannot lose. I think in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, it's talking about elders there. It says, take heed to yourselves and to the flock, to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit made you overseers. It's talking to elders. It says, take heed to yourselves and to the flock. You know, a big part of Christianity is looking at ourselves first. looking at ourselves first and seeing what problems, what issues, what things we need to deal with and sort out ourselves. He says, inquire for me. I want to know, and I want to make sure that I'm right with God. And then he also includes all of Judah. But we have to look at ourselves first. You look at yourself when it comes to your Christianity. When it comes to your journey with Christ, trying to follow the footsteps of Jesus, when you're trying to follow in those steps that he has left us, do you start with yourself? It's easy to start with others, because when you start with others, it's just talk. Well, I think they should do this. You don't have to do anything. Well, I think so-and-so should do this, and I think so-and-so should do that, and I think so-and-so should do this. Well, that's fantastic. But have you ever looked at the Bible, read it for yourself, and say, I need to do something? We all did it when we became New Testament Christians. But the trick is that happens all throughout our Christianity, is we're constantly looking at ourselves and say, we'll inquire what the book says about me. About me. What does it say about me? Well, there goes Kyle again. He's talking about the guy beside me. There goes Kyle again. He's talking about the lady beside me. Maybe the message is for you. You know what? A lot of times when I'm preaching to myself as well. It's easy to start with others because it's just talk. But have you looked at yourself? When you read the Bible, do you see yourself or see others? I'm not saying it's bad necessarily when we read the Bible and see others, but some of this book is for you. A lot of this book is for you. Wait, all of this book is for you so that you can learn it and you can apply it. That's why we have the Old Testament, Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. These things were written for our learning. I'm going to read and find out what I need to do. What's so powerful is Josiah, very quickly, he makes a connection that a lot of people don't like to make. But if Josiah can make the connection, I believe we can as well. When Josiah reads the law, when he inquires about the law, look at what he says, really, about grandpa and dad. He says, go inquire the Lord for me, for the people and all of Judah, concerning the word of the book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book, to do according to all that is written. Josiah makes a connection. I don't think it was an easy connection for him. It's emotional. He's already ripped his clothes. I mean, he knows. He looks back and he says, look at what the past is, and he looks at where he's at, and he just does a basic comparison. Are we doing what God said to do? And Josiah comes to a very clear conclusion. He says, as I look back, we have not obeyed what God has said. Tyre, you're preaching hard. I'm trying to preach the truth. Isn't that the connection that Josiah makes? If Josiah can make that connection, can we not make that connection? Can we not distinguish between good and evil? Can we not have our exercises, our senses exercise to discern between good and evil? He says, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. I feel so much for Josiah. 8-year-old boy becomes king. Doesn't know anything about God's Word. He's 26, finds the Word, starts reading it, and he starts making some powerful connections that people are not doing what's in the book. You know, sometimes we have to go through that situation. And you might be Josiah and your family. I'm not Josiah for my family. I can say that. But some of you are Josiah for your family. You have read the book. You have saw what the book says, and you look back and you say, we have not obeyed what the Bible says. We need to go back and do those things which are said. And you know what? Our society could use a dose of that. Our society would do very good for saying, you know what? What does the Bible say? Not what culture says, society says, what our politicians say. What does the Bible say on this issue? What a powerful connection he makes. You know, you start reading the Bible, you'll start seeing where other people have slipped up, but more importantly, don't overlook where you slipped up, where I have slipped up. The Bible will tell you where you have slipped up. I think this is a powerful story. We've got Manasseh, we've got Amon, and then we've got Josiah. Josiah is almost left in the dark religiously because of his dad and his granddad. Now, that doesn't mean that we won't be accountable. Kind of like Brent was saying, I don't think anyone's going to have an excuse. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. I think that we can come to a conclusion by looking at nature that there's a God, that we should seek out answers in relation to that. I don't think we're going to have an excuse. Well, Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. This time of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. I implore you this day to not be in Manasseh and not be in Amnon. I feel for Josiah so deeply. I mean, it just cuts me to my heart when I think of Josiah. But you know what? I think that's a call for us to be good parents and be good grandparents. We need you, Mom and Dad. We need you, Grandma and Grandpa. Don't check out. We need you. We need you so we don't end up with Josiah's. 8 years old, hasn't read the book of the law. 26 years old, first time he's read it, first making connections. Moms and dads, grandma and grandpa, we need you desperately. You know, Timothy had a good mom and a good grandma. We read about him in 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Paul writing to the young preacher, Timothy, he says, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is in you also." We need good moms, we need good dads, we need good grandmas, we need good grandpas, and grace that you're blessed with such an occasion. We need you. Josiah needs you. You understand that? Don't let your kid, your grandkid, have to wait till they're 26 years old, open the Bible for themselves, and start figuring out that, you know what? A lot of things done in the world are not what's in the Bible. You know, I think about this so much when it comes to my children. And Lord willing, one day, possibly grandchildren down the road. Kyle, you're thinking that far? I think almost as soon as you get them. I don't know about everybody else, but my kids are growing up so fast. So fast. Are you there for them? Mom and Dad, Grandma and Grandpa? Sometimes the deck is stacked against many kids in this life. There's no doubt about that. But you have an important piece to play in people's lives. Important piece to play. We need grandparents, we need parents with a spiritual focus that are pointing to the book of the law, that are pointing their children to the book of the law. Be resolved this day and every day of your life. Be like Joshua in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. What does he say? "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Are we resolved for that? Are we looking for the Bible in our house and finding it and brushing the dust off and making sure it's read, taught to our children and our grandchildren? You know what? I don't know if we can really walk around ignorant, brothers and sisters in Christ, when it comes to perhaps the youth that we're losing. And we look at each other, we scratch our heads, we look around and say, "Why are we losing our youth? Why are we losing our youth? Why are we losing our youth?" Is it really that complicated? Do we not see the pattern from the beginning of time? Is that when we turn our back on God's law, when we lose the Bible, when we lose the words of God, when they're not treasured in our hearts and our souls and our minds, when they're not treasured, is it really a surprise? Let's be resolved this day and every day of our lives. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Not just a sign that we put up in our house, but the book which is read. As we see in Deuteronomy, teach it to your kids, teach it to your grandkids, put it on the fence post, put it everywhere, so it can serve as a reminder. That's what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9 there. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 through 9, it says, "These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be on the portlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Teach them to your children. Because if you don't teach them to your children, you know what will happen is they'll be lost. And you know who's going to have to pick it up? The Josiah. Some of you are the Josiahs in your family, and you should be commended for that. You picked up the book, you've read the book, you've studied the book, you've applied the book. My grandma was the Josiah in her family. Perhaps you can be the one for yours. You know, we think about the Bible being lost. It's amazing the things that we'll ask our kids to do, the things we don't ask our kids to do. What do you mean? How many book reports have your child done throughout their schooling? Have they ever done a book report on the Bible? Have they even taken a chapter out, read it, tried to discuss it with you? Your faith cannot be your child's faith. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, "Sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and always be ready to give an answer to everyone, to ask you a reason of the hope that is in you. Certainly, we can have the same faith, we can have the same belief, we can have like precious faith, but what I'm talking about is we wonder perhaps why we lose young people. Can they do 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15? 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you. Not mom, not dad, not grandma, not grandpa. We have to grow as an individual Christian to be able to defend our faith. To defend our faith, to give an answer to the hope that's in us. Kyle, why are you happy? Well, because Jesus saved me. I've been baptized in remission of sins. I've been added to the church. I have a home in heaven that's waiting for me. Have you ever did a word study with your kids? It's actually one of my favorite studies to do, is I just take a word in the Bible, and I just look up every place that word is said. It's very powerful, because you won't be led astray when you do a lot of that. I mean, we have to rightly divide the word of truth, but you want to know about fasting? Look up the word fast in the Bible. Read every place that talks about fasting. You want to know about baptism? I wish our denominational friends would take this up. Read every place that talks about baptism. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. There's an antitype that does now say the baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience to God. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. They were baptized for the remission of their sins. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Why carry us out? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins. If you read every verse on baptism, I think you're going to be very hard pressed to come to another conclusion than baptism is for the remission of our sins, that we need it to be, our sins to be washed away and be added to the church. Instead, they want to tell you what the Bible does say. Well, I can tell you what the Bible says about baptism. They're not going to turn and point to any verse that has baptism in it, because if they would, they'd realize, oh, it says saved. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. A word study. Do we give our young people a chance to exercise? Exercise. Well, what do you mean? Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, but solitude belongs to those who are full age. That is, those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. Children, adults, parents, grandparents, don't we need to go through this maturity process where we can discern between good and evil, that we can defend our faith? When brothers and sisters in Christ, when we cannot do that, we are walking down the road of the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Hosea told them, what's their crime? Lack of knowledge. What's their crime? His law is considered a strange thing. Is it a strange thing in our society? Is it a strange thing in your family? Just because there have been generations before that did not reference the law doesn't mean that you can't reference the law in the Bible. I think we see it with Josiah. What a powerful thing that is. He overcomes a whole lot. He overcomes his grandfather, Manasseh. You read what Manasseh did in his 55 years. You read about Amnon, what he did in his 2 years. In fact, we see that he's killed very soon, probably based off of some of the things that was happening. What's your response when you read the Bible? Josiah, the book is found. The book is read to him. He starts to respond. He tears his clothes and he takes a group of the people and he sends them off to the prophetess. And this prophetess is basically going to tell him, yeah, what the Bible says, what the law says, is what it means. But we pick up there chapter 22 there, 2 Kings chapter 22. They were just told to go inquire of the Lord for me and the people of Judah concerning the things that are written. So we see as the verses unfold that they go and they start talking to the prophetess in verse 14. So the group of individuals, they go and start talking to the prophetess, and it says they spoke with her. Verse 15, it says, then she said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and on its inhabitants, all the words of this book which the king of Judah has read. Because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be aroused against this place and shall not be quenched. But as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of him, inquire of the Lord, in this manner You shall speak to him, thus says the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before God, the Lord God, when you heard it, what I spoke against the place and against the inhabitants, that would become a desolation, a curse, and you tore your clothes and wept before me. I also have heard you, says the Lord. The law is found, it's read, and Josiah has a response. And his response is repentance. He wants to know exactly what the Bible has to say, what the law has to say. So there's an interesting word used there, talking about God's people. Chapter 22, verse 17, it says, because they have forsaken me. Because they have forsaken me. Have we forsaken the words of the Bible? Have we forsaken the Bible? Have we forsaken God? You know, that word's used in the New Testament on a few occasions, but one occasion that probably pops into our mind is Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves. You know, there's been a lot of discussion about that word, and I certainly think about it a lot. I think that many cases, when I think of that verse, I think of a marital relationship. When have I crossed the line when I have forsaken my wife? I actually asked my wife that this week. I said, what would you consider me forsaking you? I'm not going to give you her answer, because maybe you should ask yourself that. And then ask yourself, are you treating God the way that you treat your spouse? Because my wife gave me an answer. She was very clear. She said, this is where I would consider you have forsaken me. Have you forsaken God? You're in a relationship with God. We're baptized. We're added to the church. Ephesians chapter 5 says the church is his bride. You're in a relationship with God. Are you cheating on God? It says, husbands, love your wives. Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. There's a comparison there. Christ, church. The church is his bride. We've been added to the church. We are in a relationship with God. Are you forsaking God? You know, you can certainly think about that. I certainly think about it from time to time. Do we treat God worse than we do our spouse, or vice versa? I'm in a relationship with God. I want to be faithful to God. I love God. And certainly, I think that we can see that that is a comparison that should be considered and thought about. Why don't you go home this afternoon and ask your spouse, what would you consider forsaking you? And I talk to my wife in relation to like a business trip or something, you know. What would you consider forsaking? You know, if I went out of town, how long would it be? Well, I'll give you a little hint on what my wife said. She said, if I ever did not know where you were, I would kind of consider that forsaken. You know, if you went on a trip for 2 weeks and you didn't let me know what was going on, you know, I would kind of consider that forsaken me. You left for 2 weeks and you didn't tell me where you were going. How do you treat God? Certainly God knows where we're at all times, all places, but something to consider. Are you forsaking God? That's what the charge is here, forsaking God. You know, I wouldn't say these things if I didn't care about you. Maybe you think I'm coming across really hard this morning, but I wouldn't say these things if I didn't care. It'd be a lot easier for me to just post, right? Don't say anything controversial. Don't try to get under anyone's skin. Don't do anything like that. But when I look at the Bible, and our relationship to God is described like marriage, he says the people are forsaking him. They've lost the Bible. The law is in the temple. No one's reading it. And no one is really showing up for God. They don't care about God. You care about God? One thing I found in life, you don't misplace things that you care about. You ever lost your wedding ring? I tell you what, you go into super search, don't you? You know, gotta find that ring, gotta find that ring, gotta find that ring, gotta find that ring. You almost put your whole life on pause. You know, you're like, I've got to retrack my steps. Where's that wedding ring at? And you look, you know, you don't lose things that are precious to you because when you realize they're lost, you go searching for them. You go looking for them. You know, you lost a diamond ring, you're going to go look for that. You know, you lost something of value, you're going to go look for that. I think there's a clear reason why the book, the law was lost, because they didn't care. It wasn't valued. You care about the book of the Lord? You care about the Lord? Josiah certainly did. But I think about Manasseh, I think of Amnon, I think of Josiah, and I just feel for his situation so much. And like I said, let us be resolved this day to be like Joshua in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. But I found some interesting stats this week. And these stats are not Kyle, and these stats are not the Bible, but I'm just going to throw them out there for food for thought. The stats are in relation to children who have parents that go to Bible study and Sunday morning worship. That is all the study was on. Bible study and Sunday morning worship. Here's the stat. I'm just throwing it out there. It's not Kyle. It's not the Bible. Take it for what you want. Mom and dad go to Bible study and Sunday morning worship, which I don't know if that's necessarily be our standard, but that's what the stats are. If mom and dad went to Bible study and Sunday morning worship, 73% chance, if my memory serves, that the children will be faithful. You say, Kyle, that's kind of low. Well, we kind of live in a hard society, do we not? Now, let's break it down a little farther. If dad, and we got 73%, if most mom and dad go to Bible study and Sunday morning worship, if you look at just dad, if it's just dad, dad's all alone. Dad goes to Sunday morning Bible study and worship 55%. Stand. If it's just mom, it's 15% chance. Hey, Kyle, I'm not really happy with those numbers. Neither am I. I look at those numbers, they kind of jolt me a little bit. And I think about that, and I start to think about, I want my Josiah. I want my child to know the book of the law. I don't want my child to have to go be 26 and have to find somebody else to tell them. I want to be mom, I want to be dad, I want to be grandma, I want to be grandpa, that they know the law, they know the Bible because of me. Don't let the Bible be lost in your life. Don't let it be lost in the lives of your loved ones. What do you value? In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, it says, for what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Don't lose your Bible. Don't lose Jesus. Because we need him most desperately. Be resolved this day. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Josiah made a lot of good change, but it was not because of the support system which he had. It's through the power of God and reading the book. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. You see the pattern of hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. Perhaps you need to do that this morning. Perhaps you need to pray for the church. We'd love to help you in any way that we can. If you come, as we stand, as we sing.